Going off what you had said, okay, in terms of we really wanted something different in that space. So if you're, I mean, we can approve something now. We can determine something now, but we're thinking, you know.
Can I just talk to Michael?
Sure.
Down to the parapet, to the height of the.
No, to what? To 3.2.
The height of the existing bridge.
Yeah, well, a little bit higher. So, do you want to separate?
There seems to be a bit of confusion. The garage is not Victorian. The garage was built after 1943. It's not.
We're not worried about losing the garage.
Okay.
It's just that when you started to go down the track, it's like, oh, we maybe really want something else. We really want, oh, a studio with a unit above. It's like, well, what you're getting is seems to be like a hybrid of everything. And if we delete the roller shutter, if we delete the crossing, you've got a studio, but then you won't be able to use it as a garage. But if we really want a garage, then...
Maya seems more wanting to go down that path, and in the interest of keeping the thing happy, yeah. I'm happy to defer to her. But she would like to delete the roller shutter door, get rid of the vehicle crossing.
Yeah, you know, right? For us to go, we've been waiting 6 months to come here.
Yeah.
I can't wait another 6 months to do another DA, pay a whole lot of people. And, you know, we came in with the best fight possible, and we have taken into consideration what the heritage guy wanted. We'll build, you know, we'll take out the roller shutter door. We don't really want to keep going. Take out the roller shutter door, pull down the parapet, but not to what we got, to 3.2 rather. I mean, it's a little bit above.
I think the planner actually called for the parapet to be the height of the existing ridge of the garage, and we'll pull down the... Is that right?
Yeah. Well, to 3.2.
I think they're concerned about the height of the building and the streetscape, and also the higher it is, the more you block off the building next door. And I know from your backyard that's why you wanted to do, but when from the street, you see less of the building and the round next door.
If we hadn't contested his conditions, it would have been fine. So why is it not fine now if we're saying we'll accept those conditions?
Which condition? Sorry, you don't want to accept his conditions. What?
We are contested. Well.
I thought you didn't want to accept the conditions. I'm confused.
But we said we...
Our confusion is the height of the building. So there seems to be two... The heritage person is calling for it to be above the roller shutter door. We weren't certain if that was the existing or the proposed roller shutter door. The planner seems to be calling for it to be the height of the existing ridge. Am I right in reading that? I can't find it now where it is. But
okay, we're... I think we're in agreement that we're happy to reduce it by 900, as shown on the drawings.
What's proposed?
Okay.
Does that make it clear?
Yes. Yeah, thanks.
And then are we getting rid of the roller shutter door and the vehicle crossing, but we're maintaining the vehicle crossing into the courtyard? Is that right? Or are we leaving the roller shutter?
We aren't sure whether you're sure you know what you want.
Yes.
Okay.
Point taken.
I would like to see the roller shutter deleted, because I see if it's not going to be a garage, then you don't need the roller shutter and the curb reinstated. That's my view, and you can still get access from the other driveway.
Okay.
And then if you wanted a garage, then you should have applied for a garage. You know what I mean? Doesn't mean you can't come back and modify this DA later,
yes.
Maybe when you have decided what you really want, but or maybe... I don't know if we're going to be on the panel, but...
I agree with what you've said.
So that's my position. Drop the building by 900, delete the roller shutter, have a parapet wall to finish off the building, and remove the redundant crossing. You've still got the other crossing. And I'm happy to leave the window inside as it is and the doorway. Sorry. Are you happy to...
Sorry, you're happy to... Is this in the existing house?
Yeah.
You're happy to do what?
Delete the condition.
Oh, perfect. Could we then, sorry, address who pays for the vehicle crossing?
That's normally at the applicant's expense.
That's the applicant's expense, and that is a standard type of condition.
Okay.
And also tied to occupation.
Occupation certificate.
It should say occupation certificate.
Okay. If you can amend it to say that, because it sounds like we're not allowed to live in the building while the vehicle crossing isn't returned.
Are you happy?
It's a compromise at the end of the day. Yeah. Okay. Are you happy?
Yeah.
To modify the consent, if you're not happy with this determination, at least you've got something. And
or
you
if you change your mind again.
All right. We're going to have to tweak some of these conditions to accommodate all this.
So, and we also want to delete the window above where the roller shutter used to be.
So it'll be a blank wall.
So you have a blank wall.
It'd be nice to try and get some east light at a high-level window through into the space. Otherwise, it's just a horrible blank wall, which is neither going to look great from the street or internally.
You have some skylights on that northern roof?
No, those are photovoltaic panels.
Can I suggest that the window would have to be subject to, or the highlight or whatever you call it, subject to heritage people giving their okay to it? So it's something that can be done by way of a modification. You haven't got your heritage advisor here, so it can't help us. Thank you.
What we're proposing in terms of the resolution. So just in terms of the recommendation, in part B of the recommendation, it talks about the... I'll start again. We went to the site today and we observed the building from the street. We went into the property when we're inside the dwelling, and we observed the items that we've been discussing in terms of the heritage fabric that's been recommended to be retained and so on. And as you've heard of the discussion, we're happy to approve the changes to the inside of the building. I just wanted to, in the recommendation, where it's in point B of the recommendation, where it says that we're approving a new garage, can we just delete the reference to garage in part B of the recommendation? Yeah, so it says provision of a new garage / studio. We could just delete the word garage. Also, the application is subject to a clause 4.6 variation to the Marrickville LEP 2011 regarding floor space ratio. So we're satisfied that the 4.6 request and the 4.6 variation would meet the tests of clause 4.6 of the Marrickville LEP. So we're happy to give the variation to the floor space ratio. In terms of the actual conditions, we're accepting the recommendation except with these changes. We're going to... Let me see, where am I? Clause 15. In condition 15, we're going to delete condition 1, 15.1. We're going to delete 15.2. We're going to leave 15.3, but we're going to say amend condition 15.3 to read that the Summerhill Street elevation of the garage studio to be amended to a parapet wall and the height of your structure to be lowered. So after the words, instead of to be just above the roller shutter, delete the words to just above the roller roller door by... Have you got the whole condition in front of you? No.
By 900.
Delete the words to just above the roller shutter door.
What about replace the words just above the roller
shutter door? Okay, all right, yeah. Replace the words just above the roller shutter door.
And then substitute
900 millimetres. By 900 millimetres. 900 millimetre. and the windows deleted, the skylight, the highlight windows deleted.
It's a window singular, I think.
The window. Does that make sense?
I think you'd have to say 900 below what? Below the proposed...
Oh, the ridge.
The ridge.
Whose ridge?
The roof ridge.
The
RL.
Okay.
As shown
parapet.
In the DA plan.
Yeah, in the DA plan.
Okay.
Yeah.
21.53. Is that where you're talking here?
Because the consent relates to the DA plans.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's automatic.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's okay. From where it was lodged.
Okay.
Reduce the ridge.
The uppermost height is reduced by 900 millimetres.
Yeah, the ridge. Isn't that the ridge?
Top of the roof, you could say. Keeping the same
pitch.
So it says sort of lowered by some of the proposed ridge line.
By 900 from the proposed, the ridge is hard on the adjacent boundary. Is it still a ridge line? Top of the roof? Top of the roof? Yeah.
And the highlight wind and
highest roof RL, I think.
Yeah. RL 21.53, it is. We just say 21.500, 20.53,
21.
Yeah.
Well, just drop it by 900 and delete the
Delete the highlight windows on the
eastern elevation.
Yep.
We're deleting the roller door?
And we're deleting condition 6.
15.6.
Oh, no. Oh, no, sorry. We're retaining it. Sorry.
You're
confusing me now.
Sorry.
So.
1, 2, go. 3 gets changed. 4 gets kept. Structural. 5.
And we're leaving 4 and 5.
And 6.
4, 5 and 6. Yep. And then
we are going to keep the redundant vehicle crossings being
retaining
removed.
Condition 35. Yep.
So that's that is. Yeah.
And I think that's it.
I think that is it.
So, 35 said the redundant vehicle crossings. Surely that should read vehicle crossing.
Oh, okay. Change the word crossings in 35 to singular, and also before occupation certificate. Prior to occupation certificate, rather than occupation of the site. So, instead of the words before occupation of the site. Yeah, instead of. That was condition 35. In condition 35. Okay.
You've got something out of it.
And that's a unanimous,
that's a unanimous decision. Thank you very much.
Reasons for decision?
As per what's your standard wording?
I'll read them out.
Thank you.
One, the development is permissible in the R2 low density residential zone. Two, in the R2 low-density residential zone. Two, the development will be compatible with the emerging and planned future character of the area. Yes. Three, the panel supports the findings contained in the assessment report and endorses the reasons for the approval contained in that report. Comma, subject to the amended conditions above. Four, for the reasons given above, approval of the application is in the public interest. So, amend two to read the development will be compatible with the heritage conservation area. Reasons for decision two.
After compatible, Jan's going to read some words. We'll say some words.
The heritage
conservation area.
Well, it's a heritage item.
Yeah. Well, the heritage item. Mm. And.
Take out the rest.
Yeah.
And the character of the area you can take out.
Yeah.
Take out with the emerging and planned.
Yeah, take that out. Full stop after heritage item. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Sorry we took so long. We can now go on to item seven. Item seven is the demolition of an existing boarding house and the construction of a new three-story boarding house at 12 Gower Street, Summer Hill. There is no one here to speak on that matter. The panel is of the unanimous view that this should be approved, and the panel adopts the recommendation. And again, I have to set out the reasons for the decision.
Heather wants to add a condition, please, David.
I want to add a condition about
parking. Yes, I'm sorry. We need to add a condition. Okay. Now, next is the heading, reasons for the decision. No, but immediately under the reasons for decision. One, the development is permissible in the R3 medium density residential zone. Medium density residential zone and satisfies all the requirements of the applicable planning controls. Right, then, two, the panel supports the findings contained in the assessment report. You've got it there.
Yeah.
The next sentence becomes item two.
Yeah.
all that is two. And then three is, for the reasons given above, approval of the application is in the public interest. That's item seven. All right. So we can now move on to item eight. This is the development at Prince's Highway and Union Street, Tempe. The proposal is to carry out some alterations and additions to the existing premises and an application to use the premises as a vehicle body repair workshop and vehicle repair station. We have noticed that there are some people who wish to speak on this matter. First of all, Mr. Scott Lidicote. For the record, your name and address, please.
Okay, my name's Scott Lidicote. Yes. I live in 23 Union Street, Tempe.
All right, proceed. Yes. You have 3 minutes.
Thank you. I live in Union Street, Tempe, and I'm speaking on behalf of all the residents who could not attend today, but also share the same view of the development. Given the applicant's previous poor behaviour, which is well documented over the past few years, the residents have concerns that the business who, if get approved, will show similar behaviour and not comply to any of the restrictions put upon them. The very well documented operation of the taxi changeover base, which we believe is still in operation, but on a smaller scale, caused immense problems all over the local area to a degree where the council asked us to stop sending them documentation as it took up so much of council's resources and time. We're asking, has this business been regularly checked to comply, as it is evident of the multiple cars turning up at 3 p.m. taxi changeover time every day, it's still happening. They physically cannot service 30 cars in the afternoon by their 4 p.m. close. It also states, inside the development, I'm going to facts now, sorry. It also states a car stack area for 35 cars inside the development, which totals 225 square metres. It only gives space if you go by the current rate of 5 metres by 2.1 for a small car space. That only adds up to 15 car spaces. We also have an issue with the hours of operation. We think it's excessive for the site and it should be in line with the council's recommendations. But Sundays, we should be excluded from the application. We also have an issue with staff parking because they're still parking on our streets and it needs to be addressed as it also carries a flow-on effect for the other residents who arrive home and have to park further up the street. Also, the highway parking is getting removed due to the Bunnings development, which was recently approved, so there's less parking. The parking spaces outside that entire development have been removed. And no doubt that will affect local amenities even more. Also, in the recommendations, it feels that the introduction of spikes on the site to stop traffic flowing back into Union Street, the Union Street residents are very vocal about this, and we think it needs to be done also. The drivers that access the site regularly drive the wrong way down the street, turn right off the highway, it's no right turn, reverse down the street, it's just out of control. excuse me. The business has also grown since their original application. They have hundreds and hundreds of cars and they quite regularly boast they've got more than 500 cars in Sydney. Really? I didn't get bipped off.
We'll No, go.
Sorry, I'm only joking.
You haven't finished. We'll give you another minute. Keep going.
Oh, thank you. I've just got one more paragraph to go, sorry. As the business has over 500 cars now, this site cannot handle the amount of fleet business and repairs and stuff that they originally applied for, which was 50 cars. It got rejected down to 25 cars. Now they've got over 500 cars in their fleet. How are they supposed to service that in that site? Thank you.
Mr. Threlfo? Well, you're hiding. You're hiding around there. Come forward, please.
I'm here for item 9.
You're for the applicant?
Yes.
Different item.
You're the next item. Oh, okay. All right.
None of the applicants are actually here today.
Okay.
Ken Moxon is next.
You're correct. I've jumped ahead. Ken Moxon. Again, for the record, your name and address, please.
Right. My name's Ken Moxham. I'm from 40 Smith Street, Tempe. Smith Street's diagonally opposite the development here for the taxi base, and it's directly in line with Union Street. So we're just the other side of the highway. So I'll be very brief because I just want to point out the impact that taxi base used to have upon us, and with their history of flaunting their DAs before, it presents people in Smith Street with a little bit of suspicion and worry. So what I'm seeking here, hopefully, is there will be some sort of ironclad statement and clarification of just these little issues, if I may. One, is it absolute that this development is purely for vehicle repairs and washing? I know that's what it says, and that's what they hinted at before but didn't do that. Number two, this will we be assured that this will not revert to being a taxi changeover as it previously did? And this is hugely important to Smith Street, where I live, as many of the taxi drivers lease their cars for a full week. That's 24/7, and they park on the northern side of Smith Street. And as very few people in Smith Street have off-street parking, we use that as well. And now we're impacted by Bunnings, which is going to take out 120 metres of that parking. So we are saying, can we get clarification on that DA? And finally, that the damaged vehicles that will be brought to their site, their history of those damaged vehicles has always been that they arrive on the two or three or four of them on the back of a big flat truck. And they often arrived at 2 a.m., 3 a.m., with all the noise and of the clanking and the banging and the removal of those vehicles, which they then also, because the establishment was closed, park on Smith Street for 2 or 3 days before they could move them in. And finally, what we're asking for, is there some ironclad agreement in there that there will be genuine avenues available to us as residents to report on and seek remediation of any of the above breaches? A, in ways that are not confrontational, B, in ways that are effective in redress, and C, in ways that will assist both the business and the residents. I just give that as background and a real big worry that they will breach their DA yet again. Thank you very much.
I don't think anyone's here from the applicant. No.
We do have one more person, Mr. who couldn't, because the website was down yesterday, couldn't register in time.
All right, please come forward. Again, for your record, name and address, please.
Liz Baines, 8 Smith Street, Tempe.
Smith Street?
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
We know where that is. All right. Yep. You have 3 minutes.
Okay. I'm not very well prepared because I didn't know. Basically, I've read through this last night, and it's originally the applicants applied for 11 o'clock and 10 o'clock finishes for the site. Council have come back and recommended that they be 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock and 3 p.m. respectively for the car wash. Just wanted to clarify that that's what the DA is, that's actually in front of us now.
The council has recommended conditions as to the hours of operation.
Yep.
Vehicle repair station, 7 to 6 Mondays to yep. Fridays, 8 to 5 Saturdays and Sundays.
Yep.
And I can tell you, we aren't completely happy with the Sunday trading.
Yep.
Body repairs, same hours.
Yep.
Office, 7 to 6 Mondays to Fridays, 8 to 5 Saturdays and Sundays. We don't have a problem with that. Car wash, 9 to 3 daily.
Yep.
They're the conditions suggested by the council.
Yep.
We are inclined to vary those slightly. We're not happy with the extended trading hours on a Sunday.
Yep.
Yes.
Either way.
All right.
No, we're not. It's a very... It's a very noise. It's panel beating, you know, like drills, impact drills, and that. Doing mechanical repairs are very. They emit a certain amount of noise. Sunday, we live under a flight path. We accept that. We live near a highway. We accept that. We've got enough noise. The argument that you've got noise, so what's another bit matter? It doesn't. It just doesn't make sense to us. No panel beaters, no mechanics work on a Sunday, or not normally. It's not normal practice, and it's so close to the residential area. If it was in an industrial block, if it was in a right away from a residential area, it'd probably be acceptable. But being so close to residential areas, it just seems a bit over the top for their needs.
Is that all you want to say?
Yeah, because as I said, I'm totally unprepared. But I just wanted to clarify the hours of operation and the fact that, you know...
We're going to restrict the Sunday trading further.
Yep,
right.
That would be very much appreciated.
Good.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, I can say the panel has come to a decision. I have to say this. We've heard, both on site and presently, complaints about the unlawful use of the premises up to date, including parking in the street and other things. The court decisions tell us that past unlawful use is not relevant. This application is prospective, not retrospective. Planning applications have to be dealt with on their merits and relate to a future use and are not concerned with past use or the identity of the user. So we have to consider what has been applied for and apply our minds solely to that matter. We note that the zoning of the site allows this kind of operation, and we note that the council itself has suggested a number of conditions designed to alleviate the traffic problems. They include a requirement that access spikes be installed at the Union entry to prevent egress onto Union Street. They require directional line markings to be installed within the site to ensure restricted vehicle movements are clear to users. There's a condition that all vehicles associated with the use of the site must be parked on the on the property, not on the adjacent road road network. There is a requirement for a complaints register to be maintained on the premises. There is a requirement that all vehicles associated be parked wholly within the property. I've mentioned that. We are going to grant consents limited to a 12-month trial period to see how it goes. And at the end of that period, the use must cease unless an application is made to continue the use in the light of what its in the light of the experience of its operation during that 12-month period. We are not going to permit any operations on Sundays. No operations on Sundays at all. And I think that pretty well covers what our approach to this application is. So the formal determination is to adopt the recommendation that the application be approved for a 12-month trial period. Miss Wharton has written out the condition. I'll let her read out the condition. So it is approved subject to the following conditions and changed conditions. The first one is as follows.
So this will be subject to the consent first becoming operational, because there are deferred commencement conditions that have to be satisfied first. So the consent be limited to 12 months from the commencement of use on the site. From the commencement.
On the site.
After which time the use must cease unless an application to extend the operation as a modification to the consent has been lodged. In this regard, in consideration of the extension of the consent, the following matters will be considered. A, compliance with the conditions of consent, including the plan of management, and B, any complaints lodged with the council regarding the operation of the premises, and also complaints identified in the complaints register.
Or to council?
Yeah, we're lodged with council.
All right. Condition.
Does that make sense? They'll have to tell us when they start the use. Do we need to make that explicit?
Can we say the applicant shall notify council when the use has commenced on the site in order to trigger the beginning of the trial period?
All right.
Can we say and subsequent, unless under the third line, the consent must be limited to 12 months trial unless an application to extend the operation as a modification of the consent has been lodged.
And approved.
Well, that means you have to approve it within 12 months.
That's fair enough.
It has been determined. Unless an application to extend that's right, has been lodged, that's fine.
So they, after 12 months, they lodge the extension, but then they keep going on until the council determines it.
Yeah, it says it ceases after 12 months.
Yeah, I know. And the lodgement will let them continue on until the actual location is redetermined. Mm. Yeah. Maybe that's okay.
Yes, all right.
Okay.
And then condition two relating to hours of operation is amended. To exclude all operations on Sundays. All right, any other conditions?
Condition 15. Condition 15, it talks about the approved car parking space plan. Can we add to that condition, notwithstanding, comma, the area shown as stacked parking on that plan shall only be used for parking of vehicles awaiting repair and is not approved as a general parking area.
Perhaps they should be allowed to put them there after the repair too.
Oh, okay. Associated with
the car repair. Used in association with car repair.
Vehicles to be repaired. Vehicles to be awaiting completed, waiting slash completed repair. Take out associated. And then also, can we say further, comma, the car wash bay shall only be used in conjunction with the car repair use.
Not as a separate business, it's
like... Yeah, that's what's implied.
Okay.
Or is it, do we have to say car repair panel beating? Or is that the same use?
Yep. Anything else, panel?
Can we say something like no other use is approved on the site so they don't think they can use their taxi thing as well?
No, that's overkill. No? That's overkill.
Okay. That's overkill.
Okay. All right. Then we add reasons for decision.
Yeah.
One, the development is permissible in the B6 Enterprise Corridor Zone. We can't hear you.
Just clarifying something. Are you approving the hours that they applied for or the hours that council...
We are imposing our own hours.
Thank you.
Yes.
No, just clarification. I wasn't sure. That's what I'm not real good at this.
Yes, we have imposed our own hours.
There is a statement in the consent of the report that details... the recommended hours, we've amended them in relation to no trade on Sundays.
Okay.
Does that make it clear?
Yeah.
And no trade after 5 p.m.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you so very much. Thank you.
The Development Corridor Zone 2, the panel supports the findings contained in the assessment report. And endorses the reasons for the approval contained in that report, subject to the amended conditions above.
Sorry, could we?
We have it.
Do we want to limit it to five? Are we happy to go to six, or do we want to go to five?
We've nominated.
We've made it.
We've adopted the recommendation and simply said no trading on Sundays.
Yeah, but you said we're not going to go after five.
It's 6 o'clock.
It's six.
They can trade to Monday to Friday.
Yes, 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock, not five.
On Saturdays and not on Sundays.
Could we just... Can I say one more thing? I just want to say I want council to go back and investigate the current operation because clearly there were taxis there today.
That'd be only a recommendation.
Yeah, no, recommendation.
Well, you can put that as a recommendation. Okay. No, it's overkill.
Is that?
They know the problem.
Okay.
No, but the council, we asked the council to go back and investigate again, then the council hopefully will do that. I'm not putting it as a recommendation.
I think the locals will be under the council.
Okay, all right.
All right, that's that matter. Thank you very much.
Unless you miss what main tanks. You're so much older than me.
Item 9. Item 9, 155 Illawarra Road, Marrickville. Part demolition, part alterations and additions. We inspected this site earlier in the day and we are pretty happy with it, except for the applicant who is not happy with it. The applicant isn't happy with one of the recommendations, I think. Who wants to go first? Mr. Threlfo. The only problem with this appears to be the floor level in the residential section.
That's the main problem.
Yes.
One of my clients has a few other minor matters to raise.
Yes.
Okay. My name's Bruce Threlfo. I'm a town planning consultant, 48 Victoria Road, Roselle. I'm going to address the flooding matter. I'm assuming you've read my submission, and my basic argument is that the justification for raising the floor level is because the proposed floor level would present an adverse risk to life. Now, my submission is that there's not a sufficient adverse risk to life to justify the inconvenience that this is going to put to the people who are going to occupy the building, who are the applicants. Now, just to expand on this a bit, I'm fairly familiar with the Marrickville Valley Flood Study. I've been looking at it for about 9 years. I live about 1 kilometre upstream near Marrickville Oval. Now, one of the key things about the Marrickville Valley flood area is Marrickville Oval is designed as a huge detention tank. It has the specific purpose of holding water to stop it running down this floodway along Sydenham Road. And so the whole oval is a huge detention tank. I don't think there's any likelihood that one would get particularly deep flood waters down here on this intersection of Sydenham Road and Illawarra Road. The fact that council's approved other renovations quite nearby with floor levels below the flood level indicates to me that the council staff don't think that there's a particularly adverse risk to life in the area. The difference with this application is it's doing a bit more work. Now, doing a bit more work doesn't make the flood risk any worse. So therefore, I think that to some extent, the rationale of the DCP is a bit flawed. It might be appropriate to take a hard line if you're building a new building, but this is to rework an existing building, and I think it's a very clumsy solution to raise the floor level of the front two rooms. The objective of this is because potentially floodwaters might run through the front door through the house. Now, there are other ways to deal with that without raising the floor level in those front two rooms. And you can see how the relationship works by looking at the photo in the report and the proposed new floor level in relation to the front window. So I don't think there's enough risk to justify this inconvenience. Now, I'm not adverse to the potential risk of flooding. About 10 years ago, my wife and my 3 children were caught in a flash flood in Newcastle, and my wife had to wade through waist-deep swirling water with 3 children under 8. But that was in a car. People drown in cars, at beaches, in rivers. They don't drown in houses. And so I think that the risk, the adverse risk to life that might arise here is so minor that the building should be allowed to remain at its existing floor levels, just as other houses that have recently been approved have been allowed to maintain their existing floor levels. I think the extent of works is not a justification for putting them through this inconvenience.
How would you stop floodwaters going through the front door?
Well, you could have a step at the front door, or you could sandbag it. One of my duties up at Marrickville Oval is to look after the Marrickville Croquet Club. I'm on the executive. It floods. It's a council building, but it floods. And when it rains heavily, we go over and put sandbags at the front door. Now, Josh, who's here, who's going to address you, she's actually going to live in this residence. It's actually part... This is they have bought the building with a view to them. It's going to become their house. Now, she's got some possible solutions, but raising the floor level throughout the whole front two rooms is really unnecessary. If it was really going to rain really hard, you just go out and put a sandbag at the front door.
Can I just ask, so anecdotally you say it's not going to be a problem, but
yep.
If you actually want us to consider something contrary to the council officer's recommendation, the flooding engineers looked at it, the council's policy has been applied, council's covered by the floodplain manual if we apply conditions in accordance with the manual. The council's not covered if it approves something contrary to a policy in terms of indemnity and so on. What if you had done a flood study or a technical engineer's reasons or mechanisms or, plan, then there'd be something for us to look at. But in the absence of a proper technical engineering report, it's very hard for us to consider anything contrary to what the council engineers have recommended.
Well, just on that, I was the town planner for the house on the other side of the lane. It was approved with a floor level of RL 6.05, which is much lower than what's proposed in this application, and there's been an approval given about three houses away within the last 12 months, which also approved a floor level below the flood level. Now, in the application, in both of those applications, there was no request for a technical report to deal with, or a flood study to deal with this. The justification given in the officer's report here is the works being carried out were relatively minor. Now, I don't think that there's any difference between the works being... I don't think whether the fact that we're doing more works here doesn't increase the flood level. The council staff were quite happy to approve these other matters under delegated authority without a flood study.
I think the difference would be is that if the works being undertaken are significant, then there's the justification to apply the policy in a more rigorous way than if works are being undertaken and minor. That would be my understanding. And I think the ones that they refer to in the report, are they the ones that you're talking about?
Yes.
So I think they've distinguished them from your proposal.
Yes, but solely on the basis of the extent of works. And I guess my
talk about
argument...
Them.
Oh, sorry.
They're talking about them being first floor additions.
There was a first floor addition at 2 Silver Street. And I think there was what... I think the other one in Illawarra Road had a first... Yes, had a first floor addition.
With works on ground as well.
I'm just wondering, the two approvals that you refer to are a couple of years old, whether the data that this DA was assessed under or those is now different. I know that there's a lot of updating of flooding studies all the time. Just wondering if you can shed some light on that.
The approval at 2 Silver Street was given in late 2017. The Marrickville Valley flood study dates back to 2011, and I don't believe there's different flooding data available. When was the other one approved? Sorry, I can't help you with the other one. It's relatively recent.
Hello? Who's next? Who's next?
Hi, my name's Jocelyn Tarr. I'm the owner and resident of said Illawarra Road residence. Just want to mention again that we wish to retain the ground floor levels as they are currently existingly built. We've received some pricing estimates on raising those floor levels, which have come at quite a costly expense for us as a young couple and small business owners. It would be upwards of $50,000 because the extensive works would mean removing the existing slab, propping the existing walls and building a new slab at the high level. Another issue for us is the access, which is a highly inconvenient daily concern for us. Issue with a pram or a wheelchair getting up and down the stairs into the back area would be pretty inconvenient for us. So we just wanted to raise that and hope that you consider that in your thoughts.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Heidi Pronk from Mackenzie Pronk Architects. I'm one of four of this is a partnership. Myself and Neil are hoping to occupy the office next door, and Joss and Tom are our partners, and this is their first home. We're doing this as a collaboration. The primary matter is the flood planning issue for us. I've got a couple of minor matters after that. I guess for us, the consideration of flood, I know you're referring to applying council DCP in this matter and listening to experts. I guess we would maintain that our ground floor in the residential area is really only an expansion of 5 metres squared. We're cutting out a little courtyard and we're putting a topping slab to even out the slab on ground. So while there is an expert opinion to be considered, our actual kind of ground floor additions, which is where the flood provisions come into consideration, are really relatively minor, and we're hoping to work with the existing building fabric and maintain as much as possible. In fact, we hope to stage this, so we will in fact be leaving the roof on and doing the first floor, which is financially easy for us as a stage one. So while it appears a more major development that may trigger these flood controls, the actual works to the residents are very minor in terms of its expansion. And council has discussed with us that because we have some ceiling height, we can do it. And the others didn't have the ceiling height, therefore they weren't made to do it. it was a consideration by council of the physical capabilities of the site. We've bought in a flood affected area. Look, we're raising the floor this much and we're this much below the maximum peak flood. We're happy to consider sandbagging, and if in the future it actually ever manifests, we can fit a little stile that comes up and down before the rooms without raising the level of the rooms. And it is the hydraulics engineer's primary concern that water will come in the front door. I think that's their stated concern. So while it is a matter for hydraulics advice, it also is a matter for consideration of whether or not this is a kind of more major works and whether it triggers the flood controls, or whether in fact what we are doing on ground is really a minor expansion, and therefore we're really hoping to work quite tightly with the existing building fabric, because there are questions for us if we are to remove the floor or raise it by quite a bit. Does the internal wall come out? Are we then gutting the building? What's holding up those walls? And becomes, it changes it for us, it changes the internal fabric, what we're trying to keep.